You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Like a trainer.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande.
Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
It's a Zach Sang Show.
Hi.
We have Heather.
What's up?
We have Dan.
Yep.
And if you couldn't tell by looking at them.
Oh, yeah.
Jake Miller's here.
Okay.
You guys look amazing.
Thank you.
I agree. Yeah.
It's comfy, right?
Yes. Hit and run. You know, I was actually, I was always wondering what did hit and run mean. I was listening to the song more, and that's like a.
Yeah.
A little booty call thing, isn't it?
A little bit.
Well, hit and quit it.
Put a little spin on it.
You hit it and you run.
Pretty much.
That makes sense.
There we go.
Silver Lining is the current album.
Yes.
You documented that this is your 28th song in 6 months that you've released as an independent artist.
Yeah.
It's a lot of music.
Yeah, I was sitting in the car and I was just doing the math. It's crazy how much fun. I mentioned in the last interview with you guys, but being independent just becomes more and more fun for me every day. And I've put out so much music in the last year.
Is it fun or is it stressful? Because, I mean, dude.
No, I mean, the grind, it's more of a grind, you know? I mean.
Because you have to be involved in every facet.
Yeah, but that's the fun part. It's more just like, you know, when you had like a big team, you can kind of rely on them. But that's what I learned not to do. And so now I'm wearing a lot of hats, you know, now I'm designing the merch, now I'm really hands-on in, you know, the production and the recording, the mixing, everything. But that's what makes it so much fun. And so, like, you know, I'm not at the point where I want to be yet, but the grind is, like, very fun for me.
Like, relying on a team, you get so comfortable that you kind of get lost, right? Because then you just assume that somebody else is handling it.
Yeah, you kind of just feel like another player amongst, like, a lot of people who are working with you or for you or whatever you want to call it. But right now, I just feel like, you know, I'm the captain now.
What don't you do? Instead of what do you do, like, what don't you do right now?
In terms of the creative process, I do everything. I obviously have people who help me. So in terms of, like, all the pictures, all the single covers and the album
which
artwork.
Which are beautiful, by the way.
My favorite thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, they look
But I
great.
Didn't do those, you know. If I knew how to work Photoshop, maybe I would do those. But they're all my ideas. I took all those pictures of me and my friend Juliana in my kitchen. And I found this kid named Julius, 18 years old in Finland. Oh. And he's just like this wizard with Photoshop. And I don't know where he gets like the landscape pictures from, if he takes them, if he downloads them. I don't really know. I don't ask. I just send him the picture of me and a girl sitting on my floor in my kitchen and say, yo, put me behind the Hollywood sign looking out to the city. I sent him all my songs. I told him the idea that I want for all the songs. He listened to them. We caught a vibe together. And
how do you find him?
I just saw his Instagram and I'm like, I need this kid to do my album cover. He did my album cover. And then I'm like, I need this kid to do a cover for all 14 songs. And I hit him up. I'm like, do you have time? Like, what's your deal? Like, I'll pay you whatever. He's like, I can't. Like, I'm in the middle of finals week. He also doesn't speak very good English. So we're on WhatsApp, FaceTime. Like, I can't really see him. I can't really understand him. I'm like, dude, whatever I got to do, like, tell me the price, like, whatever. Like, I just love your work. Let's make it happen. And so I don't know if he passed his midterms or his finals or not, but I was keeping him busy, man.
Dude, he got it done.
He got it done. And it was cool because, like, every morning, like, 4 a.m., since it's a time difference, that's when I would get, like, in WhatsApp, like, the message of each different cover.
Cool.
So I was excited to wake up every morning at, like, 4 in the morning to, like, a message from him for, like, a new cover. It was cool.
So, like, the merch, I mean, this is all you, too. You design it, but you also handle the logistics of getting it done.
Yeah. You know, I collab with different companies. As I said, the bomber that I just gave you, that's Elwood. So I'm wearing Elwood right now.
Very
I just love
great.
The way it fits. So I went to them. I'm like, this is the design. Let's work together. You guys, you know, make it and we'll do splits, whatever. And there's this girl named Crystal that I found who designed all the merch. Her story is crazy. She got in a car crash a few years ago. And so now she's in a wheelchair.
Whoa.
And she designs all of the merch using her nose.
What?
That's cool.
Yeah. How does she
not that she's in a wheelchair, but it's amazing.
Like,
yeah.
It's amazing. She, like, whenever I see her texting, she's like holding her phone between her elbows and then like texting with her nose.
How can you do that with your nose?
She's a wizard at it. Yeah. She's really good.
That's crazy.
How'd you find her? Did she come to you?
I think she DM'd me, you know, 2 years ago maybe, and she did the whole merch on the last tour.
That's cool.
What?
And she does it all for free too. Like, she's super, like, super cool. Like, shout out to Crystal. I love you, Crystal.
We love you, Crystal. Jeez. Yeah.
Inspirational for sure.
Yeah. But that's something you wouldn't be able to do if you were signed to a major, because they have their people. Yeah, they just handle it.
They have their art departments. And,
yeah.
And you kind of just got to be like, okay, well, since you guys have your art department, I guess I don't really have much of a say because you guys are the professionals, and I'll get the design mock-ups in my email and hopefully I like them. If not, I'll probably get in a fight with you because you're going to have to redo all of it. Yeah, but now it's just like I knew exactly, like, I want a red hoodie. I had references. I saw other people's merch. I do my research, and yeah. So it's very easy for me to give somebody like an instruction on what I want, and then they bring it to life.
Empire is the name of your company?
Yeah, so I signed a record deal, I guess you can call it. It's really like, they didn't sign Jake Miller, the artist. They signed Silver Lining, the album.
Okay.
So it's a one album deal. They pretty much bought my album. And this was 2 months ago. This was like a week before the album came out. It was super last minute. And so they pretty much bought the rights to the album. We split all the profits of the streams and sales. And in return, they're pretty much funding everything. All the music videos, all the promo,
stuff cool. like that.
Yeah, and then when this album cycle is done, you know, I'll be done with them.
How did you find them?
They reached out to me. I worked with them previously on like on this one project. I think we took Can't Help Myself to my last single to radio for a little bit, but it didn't really work out for a couple of different reasons, but they were like kind of the driving force behind it. But then I got rid of my label, I got rid of my manager, and they kind of were like, we still love you, we want to work with you, we want to try it again. And so this is like the first time that we're actually doing like a real actual deal with them.
Does that take pressure off of you, knowing that, like, I mean, it's yours and like you're wearing so many hats, but financially being invested in something, yeah. I mean, you're always going to be financially invested in your career.
For sure.
But like putting out, like writing that check for a billboard or writing that check to handle a music video, like that's...
Yeah. No, it's definitely nice to have somebody else doing that, especially as an independent person, just because, you know, money doesn't grow on trees.
No.
It's really nice to, you know, go out and make my money, but then I would rather save it and, you know, save it for my kids or a house one day. I don't want to blow it on a billboard. So it's nice that, you know, Empire was like, these are the things we're going to do for you. We're going to put your face up on Hollywood Boulevard on a billboard. And we'll pay for it. We'll do this, we'll do that. I'm like, thank you so much. And the best part about this deal is that they didn't take one bit of my creative freedom, because the album was done when they already signed it. They contacted me. I'm like, yeah, we could do a deal. This is my album.
It's already done.
Sent the whole album to them. This is when I want to put it out. This is what I want to call it. This is what I want to do with it. And they're basically just funding all of it.
That's cool.
They didn't shoot down any of my ideas. They're just running with them. And that's the type of, you know,
that's what you want.
Companies that I need around me.
Cool. I mean, Silver Lining, it's a solid album, man.
Thank
it's
you.
A great body of work.
Thank you.
The single off of it, The Girl That's Underneath, right? Do you think that's the standout?
My favorite song on the album is Drinking About You.
I think it's a great song, too.
Thank you.
The
Girl That's Underneath was the song that I got the most positive feedback from, like, radio people or people in the industry, because it's the most upbeat and it could live on radio. But, you know,
and it's
nowadays
really vivid.
It's just, yeah, it's very, you know, I kind of wanted to make like a Bruno Mars type Maroon 5 song. Yeah. But I think the record that like hits home the most with me and just connects with me and just feels like a song is Drinking About You.
Dude, both are solid records.
Thank you.
Who is the girl that's underneath about?
Just about any girl who doesn't want to open up and show their real self. And, you know, I've met a lot of people in these last few years living in LA, and they just, you know, I'm an open book. Like, what you see is what you get. And I've met so many people who are just like, they think they're so cool. And even guys too, just like as friends, just like people who they just, you know,
sunglasses inside.
Yeah, sunglasses inside. Which I've
worn
sunglasses inside maybe once or twice, but I don't do it to look cool. I do it maybe because I'm hungover or something.
Lights are bright.
Yeah, but you know, the song is really just about trying to get to know the real you, the real girl.
Have you been in a relationship with somebody who thought they were better than you?
I haven't really been in any relationships since, you know, that past one that we talked about. But
really?
I've met a lot of people, you know, and I've definitely met a lot of people that are just like that, who just think they're so cool and they're always like, you know, in the clubs and connections, LA, like, oh, I can't stand it. Can't stand it.
It is gross.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't, like, we talked about last time, like, I don't go to parties anymore because that was, like, the song. Like, mm-hmm. I have not gone to a club in, like, since I saw you.
Wow.
Yeah. I just moved into a house in Sherman Oaks with my best friends.
Suburbia.
Yeah. I love it. I love Sherman Oaks, by the way. The Valley is the way to go. But two of us are musicians, and then the other two are in film and music videos, and so our house is just like a factory.
That's cool.
Like I'll make my song upstairs, and then I'll go downstairs to their room and be like, when can we shoot the video? What's the treatment? We'll book flights, go to Hawaii, come back, edit it. It's like our house is just like a factory right now.
Is the house yours?
Oh, we rented it. Yeah.
Nice.
So you got that ping pong table in there.
Yeah.
Gotta have some fun.
Yeah, there were some like big things for the house that I wanted to buy just so that I know that like I'll take them with me for the rest of my next house, and then one day when I have kids, like I'll have that in my house.
The ping pong table is one of them.
Well, it's the pool table, but you can put a thing on top to make it a ping pong table. We only play ping pong though, like never pool. Yeah.
Pool. Who does pool? Ping pong.
I love pool.
Ping pong is something that I've discovered I'm really good at. So if any of you guys want to come over and get your ass kicked, just let me know.
We'll do. And then we'll take that off. We'll play pool and I'll kick your ass.
Okay, so maybe we will.
I will take you up on that offer.
Let's do it.
I feel like you think you'd beat him in ping pong.
I'm pretty good.
Let's do it.
Let's not discuss it. We'll just have to do it one day.
Are you guys in the Valley? You guys live in the Valley?
No.
No.
We're on this side.
Okay.
We're West Side people.
West Side?
Yeah.
It's just
we can make the trip, though.
They'll make the trip.
Wow.
I love the Valley. It's so much fun.
Kidding.
It's so like open. It reminds me of like my hometown, like where I grew up. So
you could park. It's nice.
Yeah, there's no traffic. Yeah, right? I've been in Hollywood for 3 years, so being out there is super nice.
What's the biggest difference between 2 a.m. in L.A. and Silver Lining?
Silver Lining is more hopeful. 2 a.m. in L.A., I was really in my feelings, and I was just writing about, you know, how it is to be home alone and not going to parties and be single, and just I was kind of feeling bad for myself. Now I'm just like super happy. The whole point of the album is silver lining. There's a silver lining around anything. Every bad situation comes with a good situation. It sounds cliche, but if you look at the album cover, it's me standing on top of a mountain and you see a bunch of people floating away holding balloons, and they're all symbolic for like my past manager, my past relationships, you know, my label, just people or relationships or bad energy that I'm just letting go. And I'm standing at the top of the mountain by myself, signifying me being independent. And I'm, you know, peacefully letting all these bad energies and bad past relationships go and looking at the silver lining. And, you know, but I thought it was cool.
But drinking about you is you thinking about all those people and it driving you to drink.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like I'm an alcoholic or anything.
No, no.
I'm not drinking any more than normal, to be honest. It's just, I thought it was a cool spin on thinking about you.
Obviously. I like it.
It was originally thinking about you, and then I'm like, we need to make it drinking about you.
Now that this body of work is out, do we still think about all those people?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not like the label and the managers that I think about. It's just past relationships. You know, it's normal. But I did get, I wouldn't say a new manager. I just got rid of my old manager. I'm kind of managing myself now. And then all those other things that we don't even need to talk about anymore, like the label. I feel like we beat that with that, and
bye.
I'm very happy to be independent.
Look at you.
Yeah.
But like you're independent in all aspects of life. I love it.
Yes.
I love the sax on. Is that a sax on the girl that's underneath?
Yeah. At the very end.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
I put one on Love Again, or no, Starting Over, and the girl that's underneath. And there's actually going to be a part in my tour. There's like jam breaks in between every few songs, and I'm going to be ripping the saxophone.
Whoa, nice. You're gonna
not an actual saxophone though.
The keyboard
it's
saxophone.
It's like on the keyboard. Okay. Yeah, it's the MIDI. But I do play it, and it sounds like a saxophone. Obviously, it's going to be cool.
I love a good sax.
Who doesn't?
1975. That's why saxophone is. It really inspired me. Like have you ever heard the song Believe Me if I Believe You by 1975?
No. I'll write it down now.
There's a sax break at the end, and it's just like the nicest minute of your life to listen to that.
Are you doing every one of these records on your own?
No, there's some other people. There's some songs that I did completely on my own. I had my merch guy, his name is Gary.
Cool.
On my last tour, I met him on the tour pretty much. And then after the tour, he's like, I'm just going to move back to L.A. Like, I'm just, because he was in Jersey. He's like, I'm just going to move back to L.A. If it's cool with you, I'll sleep on your couch. And so he slept on my couch for like 6 months. And I didn't even really know that he was an artist himself when we were on tour. And I thought he was just I thought he was just like a merch guy, like an aspiring merch guy. I don't know.
Aspiring merch guy.
But no, I got off, we got off tour and he started helping me with all these records. And most of the songs are just me and him. But then I have a few other people who came in and helped as well.
So, but you're running your A&R technically. So you're controlling.
You said I'm doing what?
You're running your A&R. You're controlling who comes in and who comes out.
Yeah. I mean, the studio is my bedroom. So it's like, if I like you enough to come over and vibe with me in my bedroom and, you know, write something. There was probably five or six writers throughout the whole album process.
Got it. And what is it like when you, are they all new writers to this album or have you worked with all of them before?
Some of them are new. There's this one guy named JT Roach who wrote a lot of songs with me.
Cool.
In the past projects, but he helped me write a majority of this album as well.
Who helped you write Drinking About You?
That was JT.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who came up with the name?
It was Thinking About You. I FaceTimed him. I'm like, we need to change this to Drinking About You.
Dude, Drinking About You is
And then he's
better.
Like, oh, but BB Rexha has a song, Drinking About You. I'm like, so? No, it's been enough time. People,
who cares?
People forget. It's
cool. Is it? This, I didn't know there was a song, another song.
Damn
with
it, I shouldn't
name.
Have said anything.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I was going to say Drinking About. I don't know.
Are a lot of these songs written about that same girl, the relationship you had?
Everyone always asks me, like, when they listen to my album, like, is that about this person? Is that, it's like, I have all these feelings and emotions, but it's like, I don't, when I'm writing, I don't think about a specific person, believe it or not. Even though I am out of like a long relationship, it's like, you would think that most of these songs are about a specific person, but it's really just about a feeling. It's just about a general feeling. So, you know, if I'm missing somebody, it's like, I just want people to relate to my music, you know? I don't want every song to be so literal. If I have a song called Drinking About You, it's not like I'm sitting there getting drunk and I can't stop thinking about this girl. It's just maybe one night, you know, I'm at a party and I'm drinking and it's like, I don't want to be there at all, but I'm just kind of drinking because all I could think about is, I don't know. It doesn't, well, I've learned to write songs that are not so specific and literal to what I'm going through at the moment.
Well, it seems, well, I was just asking because it seems like a lot of them, like, if you listen through it, it seems like they could all be specific to one person.
Yeah, they're really just like feelings. Like I can envision the day where like I have this epiphany and like I hit somebody up or like I just realize that I'm like really in love with this person and I need to marry her right now. Like I can imagine that feeling, and everybody mm-hmm. can. And so I write a song about it, you know? It's not like I'm going through that right now, but I can imagine that feeling.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's where I wrote the song, like, Love Again. Okay. Or, like, it must be really nice to take a long break with someone and then kind of get to the point where you're, like, getting back together. And that's where I wrote Starting Over. I'm not at that point right now, but, like, I put myself in that situation mm-hmm. because it makes me happy to, like, think about, you know, those feelings.
And, I get it.
And people are going through those things in life, even if I'm not, so.
You put yourself into those situations.
Yeah. Or some of my friends are telling me stories and I'm kind of putting myself in their brain, and
see,
music is
good.
All just about making people, you know, connect to it.
What's been your biggest change? Like, what have you learned when it comes to making music between 2 a.m. in L.A. and Silver Lining?
What have I learned? I mean, just in terms of the production, I'm learning more and more every day. Since the last time I was here with you, I've turn into like Beethoven on the piano just because I spend so much time on the piano. Every morning I wake up, go straight to my piano, which I just bought like an actual piano for the first time to put in my room.
Like,
so
like a grand
piano? It's like
a
mini grand piano. Yeah.
Wow.
But it also has, it's like electronic, so it has like a million sounds in it.
Cool.
And you can hook it up to the laptop, so like it's really cool.
Whoa.
But I'm just obsessed with it. Like I don't play guitar barely at all anymore just because
piano.
I'm so obsessed with piano. So that's probably the one thing that's changed for me the most recently. Just I'm obsessed with chords and jazz piano, and I'm listening to old records. I'm listening to the Commodores and Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that.
When did you start learning piano? When did you pick it up?
Probably like right when I was here last. Like,
whoa.
Yeah.
So like you're really like...
I didn't play any piano on 2AM in LA. I hadn't really known... Like a few chords. Like I would have to like Google like three chords and then I would just lay them down. But like now I still don't know what the chords are called. But I know what sounds good.
Yeah. So you're
and I know
teaching
what
yourself,
next.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and it's so much fun.
Do you watch YouTube videos or are you just like
all
using your ear? Okay, got
no,
it.
No, like I'll YouTube like jazz piano and like I'll just watch a tutorial and watch it a million times and just learn certain songs.
Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
You love your LA songs.
I do.
But you don't like LA.
I do love LA.
It's aggressive.
I feel like I always get that question from you. There are times, yeah, well, especially now, because now I feel like I'm not really in like LA. I feel like I'm in Sherman Oaks, I'm in the Valley, so I don't get that energy, that crazy like LA energy anymore, which is a good thing.
The Hollywood vibe.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm 45, 30 minutes out. But yeah, I'm going on tour soon, so I get a little break of California, but.
Are you excited for tour?
I'm so excited.
You tour a lot. I feel like I just saw you in the studio when the last album hit, but really this is going to be your second tour in about a year.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
No, I mean, as an artist, I don't know if most artists feel this way, but if it was up to me, I would tour like four times a year. I would like tour for 2 months, go home for a month, and then tour for 2 months, and then just keep doing it. Like, I love the road. I love connecting with my fans. It might just be in my head, but like, I feel like I'm at my best as a person and in my career and just in general when I'm on tour. And I think it's just because I'm in person with the fans. Yeah. And like, there's nothing more important to an artist than that. You know, seeing them sing these words to a song that you just put out a month ago and seeing their tattoos of your lyrics and hearing their stories by the bus of how my music has helped them. Like, that's what drives me. Staying home in Sherman Oaks and just going to the gym and making music in my room, like, that's so much fun. But when I really have the personal experience with the fans, there's nothing better than that.
Changes everything. I remember seeing your first show in New York City all these years ago.
Yeah, I remember doing that interview.
Dude, the reaction that the fans gave, I mean, the energy is, yeah. It's infectious, man.
Yeah,
it's,
thank you.
It really hits you like a ton of bricks. It's cool.
Yeah, my fans go hard.
Do you see the fan base growing?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I see it changing.
Okay.
I see the age definitely changing. Obviously, as an artist, I want my fan base to always grow. In terms of like numbers and stuff, I don't really see it spiking, to be honest. I just kind of see it, you know, chilling.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a time for that. I think when a song starts to pop off or a project starts to really pop off, maybe it might be this one. Maybe I need to give it some time. It just came out, but you know, in the meantime, I'm still doing my thing. I don't really let it discourage me when I put out an album or a single and, you know, something crazy doesn't happen overnight. Obviously, I wish it would. But, you know, some people, like Macklemore, were grinding for 10 years before anything really popped off. And, you know, this is the fun part. I feel like it can get discouraging at times, but it's like I have the best job in the world. You know, a lot of my friends don't love their jobs and they went the normal route. And mm-hmm. I'm making a good amount of money. I'm doing what I love. I'm touching people's lives. Like, I can't complain.
Yeah,
you know?
Big or small, I can't complain at all. Yeah. How do you measure success?
I remember that question from last time. I'm gonna say the same answer. It's just as long as I'm happy and as long as I'm creating a positive impact on my fans, and you know, if I'm making songs that really help people, I think that's success. I made a song on this last album called Be All Right, and I think it's helping a lot of people. I get a lot of positive messages about that song.
But you've been doing that for a while. What was the one of the first records you released?
Like ever?
Yeah, not
talking about A Million Lives.
Yeah. Oh my God, great song.
Yeah, that's the song that kind of really started everything for me.
Yeah.
That was a song basically modeling. I took all like the fan mail and fan stories that I was getting at the time, and I turned each verse into like a story that a fan had told me about how my music had helped them. And that just, I don't know, that just exploded. And all my fans still to this day love hearing it, and I still play it at the shows.
You have to play it at the shows.
Yeah, I have to. It's hard because I'm in the process right now of making the set list for this new tour. And as an artist, I want to play all my new songs, but I can understand as a concert goer that like when you go to see someone like John Mayer, if he's playing all the stuff on his new record and not all of his old stuff, like Stop This Train and, mm-hmm. you know, Dreaming With a Broken Heart, I get a little pissed. So it's like I have to balance what I want to play and what the fans want to hear.
It's a healthy mixture.
Yeah.
But
you got to make the fans happy.
It's a good problem to have all those records under your belt.
Yeah, it is.
Do you see yourself making music forever until a song pops or hits the mainstream?
There's like for sure no plan. There's nothing in my head that's like, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to put out two more albums. I'm going to, and then if it doesn't, like, there's no if it doesn't work for me. It's going to work. I promise you. Like, it has to. And just because I know I'm a good person and my dad has taught me that good things happen to good people, good things are happening to me all the time. Like, I feel like super, super blessed.
Yeah.
But like, I know that if I keep working and I stay positive, like, I know I'm going to be like at arena level soon or amphitheater soon, or like, it's bound to happen just because I'm only getting better. And, you know, ups and downs, that's what life is about, you know?
But that's it. And you also started really young, and you're not near old at all, you know?
No, not at all.
How 25?
25, yeah.
Like, you know what I
started
mean?
This like 5-6 years ago. I plan to do this till at least 50.
Nice. Do you think though the old stuff now that's like the old Jake Miller, rapping Jake Miller, has hurt you at all today because people see you as that still in a way?
I think the only way that it's hurt me is that a lot of my fans that I gained early on still miss that Jake Miller. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as an artist, I'm always changing. no artist wants to sound the same way that they did 5 years ago when they first starting out. Yeah, the label did originally tell me to stop rapping, and I thought that that was super whack of them, and I thought I was selling out, and it really made me upset for a while. But after experimenting with singing and not rapping, that's what I love. And obviously you could tell because I'm independent, nobody's telling me what to do, and I'm still singing, not rapping. You know, if I was passionate about yodeling, I'm gonna yodel on the next record, like whatever I feel like that's what I'm. But I do see, like, especially on YouTube, because that was like my first social media platform. I didn't, you know, I was like the last one on Instagram and Snapchat. I was uploading all these videos to YouTube, so like my core fan base is like the people who comment on my YouTube, and so many people are like, I miss the old Jake Miller, like rap, and it's really hard, just because of course I want to, you know, gain those fans back if I lost them, but at the same time it's like, listen, I'm just a human making music that I want to make. Like, I can't make everyone happy.
You don't want to get stuck in that, like, corny college rap thing your whole life.
No, that's exactly why I stopped. Like, I think rap is cool if you're doing it right. I think when I rap, I sound corny. You know, my fans might disagree with me. They might have they might be biased because that's how they've discovered me, and so they don't want to hear me any other way. But I think when I rap, I sound corny. I don't like it, so I don't do it as much.
Did you experiment with it at all
on this album?
Yeah, I mean,
I rapped like one verse on this song called Permanent. The diehard fans loved it, and I didn't know how I felt about it. And then when I got a positive reaction from them, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm glad I did it. But it was really just for the fans. When I rap, it's for the fans. It's not for me.
What fulfills you
musically?
Yeah,
just singing. I mean, it's not about rapping or singing. What really fulfills me is the lyrics. I mean, as a John Mayer fan, like, he taught me how important lyrics are. Like, I can listen to a John Mayer song and cry, like, in the car by myself, and like feel so good about it. Yeah. I want people to do that to my songs. I want them to just really feel something and like cry. like in a good way.
Just cry. Just wanted
to
cry.
Like, when you cry listening to a song, you know it's a good song.
Yeah.
I agree.
Getting any emotion out of somebody is a big deal. What song could we listen to learn the most about you?
Be All Right, probably.
Got it.
Yeah. And the Headlights interlude that comes right before that, too.
Is that your dad's voicemail?
Yeah.
Why'd you want to put that on there?
Honestly, I thought that was like the coolest voicemail. Like, he's always like that. He's always like just texting and calling me and my sister, and always just like, he's always been the kind of like really inspirational person. And I don't know if he Googles these quotes or or what, or if he comes up with them, or if he's just a genius. But he left me this voicemail when I was on stage. I don't exactly remember what I was going through. It was something with my old manager, and he left me that voicemail, and I was just like so like thrown back by it, like so emotional. I called him immediately. I'm like, is it okay if I like turn that into a song or something? He's like, what do you mean? Like he didn't understand and I didn't really even know, but like, I needed the world to hear like what my dad just told me, because it helped me so much. And he pretty much just said that the song is called Headlights. I almost even named the album Headlights. And it's all about just like, imagine yourself driving from one side of the country to the other, and you can't see what's in front of you. Sometimes it's pitch black, but you have headlights. And it only shines 50 feet in front of you, and you can't see anything else but that 50 feet in front of you, but you concentrate on that 50 feet and you get through it, and then you concentrate on the next 50 feet, and at some point you end up at the other side of the country, even though you couldn't see the destination at the beginning. And so it pretty much just taught me, like, take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
You don't need to see the final goal, you know? Things, you know, you don't need to know that everything is going to work out. You just need to trust that, you know, if you believe in yourself and take it one day at a time, one foot after the other, like, you'll get there. And I needed everybody to hear that voicemail. So, and it goes perfectly into Be All Right, because that's the whole point of the song, is everything will be all right. You just gotta, you know, just believe in yourself and surround yourself. I have a lyric in Be All Right that says, I got a couple friends in my family, that's all I need.
That's cool.
That's nice. All I got. Mm-hmm. I got my, you are really, and my fans, my friends, and my family.
Dude, you're close to your family.
Yeah.
You and your sister, like...
Yeah, she was just visiting.
Best friends.
She goes to Michigan, and Michigan just happened to be playing at Staples Center.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
When she was here, so I took her.
That's nice.
What timing?
Yeah, crazy.
By the way, the most important part of that is, like, having the ability to believe in yourself, which, you know, not everybody can necessarily do right off the bat.
Yeah, no, I mean... You just have to have a few people in your life, really good friends. Some people aren't blessed enough to have a supportive family like I am, or supportive friends. But as long as you got like one person in your life who's just always like driving you and lighting your fire and just believing in you. Because sometimes when you're completely by yourself, like, which I've never been, the only person who's believed in me, I could imagine how that would get really discouraging. So, you know, find one or two friends. Anybody could find one or two friends and just light each other's fires and just inspire each other. And
I agree with that. But you also got to believe in yourself for anybody else to believe in you.
For sure. Absolutely.
Have you had the chance to talk to John Mayer yet?
So he shouted me out on Instagram Live. So I feel like, okay, this is funny, actually.
You're on your way.
So he shouted me out on Instagram Live because I don't even know why I do it. I kind of just, sometimes when he's on Instagram Live, I'll tweet saying like, hey guys, John Mayer's on Instagram Live. Flood his comments. And he finally one day saw like 100, hey, Jake Miller's in here. Say hi, Jake Miller. Collab with Jake Miller in a row. And he's like, Jake Miller, I'm not familiar with your work, but I see your name. And because you got the blue check or something like that. And I was like, okay, he acknowledged me. But now, when I join sometimes, like, I don't do it anymore, but, like, I would do that for a little bit. I would be like, oh, hey, guys, tell him to split screen with me. And I think he's seen my name so many times on his Instagram that he doesn't like me. And so I stopped doing that because he's my favorite artist. Like, I can't, if I ever meet him, like, he'll know. He'll be like, oh, Jake Miller.
Oh, this
like,
kid.
The guy who has his fans flood my Instagram live every time. So I'm like, I don't want to be that guy anymore.
Are there people that you're actively trying to collaborate with?
No.
No? You don't want to?
Yeah, there are people that are like, you know, it's all about timing.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would love a Selena Gomez feature, but it's like, is it realistic right now? Like, I'm all about, you know, earning it. I don't want to have anybody doing anything for me as a favor. I don't want anybody to have me on their tour as me opening for them as a favor. I want them to be like, oh, Jake's killing it. I want to have him.
Yeah.
Or, oh, of course I want to get on the Jake record. Like, his beats are so sick. Like, his songs are really cool. I don't want to feel like I'm asking for favors from anybody. So it's all about timing.
But how do you gauge that without asking, right? Because it's not all the time that people just call you up and be like, yo, fire, I got to get with you, you know?
No, yeah. I mean, it's more just when I feel like in my heart I've reached a point in my career where I could tell that there's like more traction than ever. And, you know, getting Twitter shout outs from people and, you know, I'm meeting people and they're really interested. Oh, I've heard of your work. I heard your song. Like, it's not enough to just, you know, of course I know Camila Cabello because I've toured with her and it's, yeah. But it's like, there needs to be a point where it's inevitable. And that's kind of when I'm waiting for, you know, my opportunity to hit people up and be like, hey, let's work. I'm a fan of you. Hopefully you're a fan of me. You see my recent crazy success. Let's do it. So it's all about timing.
Flooded your Instagram live with all my fans. Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
Are you still friends with Shawn Mendes?
Yeah, I was just texting him the other day. I told him Lost in Japan is my favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. Good records,
so
man.
So will you send your music to him? Because, you know, he sends his to John Mayer. Yeah. So that's like a little connection
I'm
there.
I'm so jealous of him. I know he's friends with John. It's so crazy. Oh. But yeah, no, I don't send my music to people like John. I don't send my music to really anybody like that. I just hope that maybe they see my Instagram. They notice that I just put out an album and check it out because they're my friend.
How'd you meet Sean?
How'd I meet Sean?
A long time ago?
Yeah, like 3 years ago. It was like right when he was kind of like in the middle of like where he is now in Divine Stage. I think we had a radio show together, but he invited me on his bus and he gave me this this thing that stuck with me forever. He uses like Manuka honey, which is like this really expensive, amazing honey that he puts in his tea, and
only
he made me
best.
A cup. And ever since then, I have it in my green room every show.
Wow, Manuka honey.
Manuka honey.
Wow.
Let's Google that and see how much that costs.
Manuka honey.
Is it Canadian? Sounds Canadian to me. Manuka.
Manuka.
So is it though like inspiring to see Sean go from Vine to selling like 120,000 tickets?
Oh yeah.
And you're like, well, this could be me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm inspired by a lot of artists, you know, and it doesn't even have to necessarily be like their success in terms of like selling or how many tickets they're selling. Like I'm mostly inspired by artists when I hear their music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could care less if you're selling 1,000 tickets or 100,000 tickets or if your song went platinum or didn't sell at all. Like if you made an amazing song, it's like, I respect you. I want to get in with you. I want to know all your secrets. Who produced that? How do I get in with them? You know, I don't care if it did well because some things slip through the cracks. Sometimes people don't recognize greatness and, you know.
Amen. So when you listen to a record for the first time, what are you listening for? What hits your ears first?
Nowadays, it's really hard to listen to a song and not hear the beat because just my production ear is just going crazy these days. bass lines are like something that I never even heard before, but now Lost in Japan has like an amazing bass line. Yeah. And you can just tell it's like this really cool live bass. I feel like most people don't even really know what the bass is. Like if you're not in the music industry, like I don't think you appreciate a bass.
You just gloss over it.
Yeah.
When it's in reality, like,
yeah, it's and the like in the concerts, song. Like when you feel that rumble in your chest, that's the bass. Like that's really like the vibe. That it's very important. But Bruno Mars, Justin Timberlake, that Lost in Japan song, they all have really cool bass lines. So I listen for that a lot. The most important thing for me, that's always been the most important and will always be, is the lyrics.
I didn't know you were a bag boy at Publix.
Yeah, it was my first job.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, right when I turned 13 or maybe 14, that was when they allowed you to work, and I was obsessed with making my own money from very young. So before I even got into music, I had four jobs.
You hustled.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I was a bag boy too at 14.
Yeah.
It was the third job I had because I worked illegally up before then.
Nice. What were you selling?
no drugs, but I had a party DJ company, and then I was working for $10 a day at the deli. They were totally scamming me.
$10 a day?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oof.
Dude, I did everything, and I was there for like 8 hours. Oh my gosh.
That's just enough to like Uber home from the job.
Yeah, right?
Uber home. I was riding my bike.
I'm saying nowadays, if you got paid $10 a day, that's just enough to get yourself home.
Depends on where you work.
That's crazy.
And then I have to walk back, only one way Uber. It's a mess.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I just want to know how the next album is coming, because we know you're already working on it.
Are you?
I've started on some beats for sure. I already contacted the guy who's making my next album cover. Crazy.
So it's a different guy.
It's a different guy.
Not the Finland guy?
I think he's somewhere. He's definitely not in America, but his stuff is insane as well. And so, you know, I just line my ducks up, and then when it's right, I say, okay, it's time.
So do you just create a ton of beats and then figure out lyrics and story to those beats?
No, most of the time I'll make a beat, and then I'll write a song to it, and it'll either... I'll know right away whether I want to finish it, if it's worth finishing, or if I want to kind of just trash it, and then I'll move on to the next one. It's not like, normally I don't make like 10 beats and then sit there and write 10 songs to them.
Got it. Does the beat lead the way, or does...
The beat leads the way, for sure.
Okay, got it.
Most of the time. 99% of the time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Silver Lining. That is the name of Jake Miller's brand new album. Yeah. Stream it, listen to it, enjoy it.
Please.
Do you think there's going to be a single off the album?
I love Drinking About You. We're coming out with a music video very soon. We just went to Hawaii to shoot it.
Nice.
It's my favorite video ever. It might be one of my favorite songs I've ever put out.
By the way, you tweeted something like in 2014 or 2015, I just want to take all my friends to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And then you literally took all your friends
to
Hawaii.
Thanks, Empire.
It's nice.
Yeah, they gave us a budget for a music video, and I said, we're going to Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
You look good next to that donkey.
Thank you so much.
With no shirt on.
Yeah, thank you.
A very small bathing suit.
It's actually my only bathing suit. My fans always give me crap because like for the last 3 years, I've only had one baby blue bathing suit, and it's in every like pool or beach picture.
We'll get you another bathing suit.
I need to get a new bathing suit, yeah.
We'll send you a Speedo.
Please do.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Silver Lining, that is the album. Any final thoughts from anybody?
No, I think we covered a lot.
You look great. You're the best looking one here today.
Thank you. I wonder why you're saying that.
It's not the hoodie.
It's definitely not the hoodie.
Wow. What chemistry. Jake Miller, everybody.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.